Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer.
I mean, I would say that a good 70% of the people I know have been playing this game, and anyone who isn't playing it has been asking about it. And I know some people who have no idea what Pokemon is, and they still downloaded it because it's like the big bandwagon right now. So
you want to be a master of
Pokemon?
Do you have the skills to be
number one?
I like getting out into Boston and seeing it in a different way. I've lived here for about 8 years, and I've seen parts of the city that I've never really gone to.
I wanna go where no one's been, far beyond the crowd.
There are eggs that you can hatch, for example, that require you to walk, you know, 5, 10 or more kilometers in order to hatch the eggs. So it's sort of also like a walking or fitness app, which I rather like.
A few days ago, playing Pokemon Go, I was actually able to meet new people. Like, we'll bump into each other and be like, oh, are you playing Pokemon Go? And they'll be like, yeah.
I have been unable to stop playing Pokemon Go wherever I go around Boston because it's nostalgic and beautiful.
We all live in a Pokemon world.
I played Pokemon Yellow when I was a kid on my Game Boy Color. I mean, I guess I just get to relive part of my childhood.
It is kind of weird going around and seeing everyone with their noses in their phones, but it is a very addictive game, and I am somewhat addicted to it already.
Pokemon.
Those are players Christian Cole, Sarah Marina, Logan Schmidt, Jenny Hong, Reese Donaldson, Ryan Judah, and Robert Elsis. They were speaking with our intern, Catherine Doherty, on Boston Common yesterday about the smartphone game Pokemon Go. And with us here to talk about it is Boston Globe tech columnist Hiawatha Bray. He joins us from the Globe. Welcome, Hiawatha.
Glad to be here.
Hiawatha, why don't you take us through exactly what Pokemon Go is? Give us the basics of playing the game.
Well, basically, you have to know what Pokemon basically involves. It's like you're in this fantasy world, which is inhabited by these little harmless but rather aggressive creatures called pocket monsters, which is what Pokemon is short for. And your goal and the goal of other people in the game is to capture these monsters, train them to fight each other, and then put them in arenas where they have competitive fights. Nobody actually gets killed in any of these fights. They just beat each other up, and if you're the best trainer, your Pokemonsters win the most fights. This has been going on for years. The whole Pokemon phenomenon began in Japan about 20 years ago, and since that time, Pokemon has become one of the world's most popular series of cartoon shows, movies, and video games. About 200 million Pokemon video games had been sold even before this. But this one has taken on a life well beyond anything anyone's ever seen before.
Now, I understand that you've played some Pokemon Go. Is that correct?
That is true.
And what did you think?
It's not my cup of tea, but I can understand why some people would be fascinated by it. This is a really fascinating attempt to combine a bunch of ideas in gaming and come up with something that would be really addictive and entertaining. One of the things that's most interesting about it is that the game is rooted in the real world. This causes cool aspects of it, but it also causes huge challenges because you have to walk to get to various places in order to make things happen in the game. And so, for example, I'm going to tell you right now, I think one of the key reasons this game is as popular as it is can be summed up in two words. It's July. I guarantee you, when November and December roll around, No, nobody's going to be out there trying to catch them all.
You know, no, we're not searching for Pokemon figures in the snow, in snowbanks.
Absolutely. Pikachu will be fine as soon as it gets cold outside. But for now, it's a great excuse to get outside. And it's amazing. According to a number I just saw, something like, and this is all of America, this game has only been released in the United States, Australia, and New Zealand. It's been downloaded so far in the last week about 65 million times.
Wow.
It's astonishing. What you do is you walk around and randomly on the map that appears on your phone, these monsters appear and you're supposed to collect them. When you try to collect one, you see it on the screen standing on the street where you happen to be. You see the street and the monster appears to be standing on it. And
yeah,
you touch it and you capture it.
I was gonna say,
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say Pokemon Go is an example of what we would call augmented reality, which blends digital technology with the real physical world. And while virtual reality is a completely immersive, entirely digital experience, augmented reality, as I understand it, requires nothing more than a smartphone and not the headset that virtual reality requires. So is Pokemon Go a landmark moment for augmented reality? Are we going to be seeing a lot more of this type of technology on our smartphones?
Great question. Here's the deal. Pokemon Go is an incredibly primitive example of augmented reality, but it is also the first one that really has gotten mass acceptance, and that's extremely important, and it'll become even more important in a couple of months. I'm not sure exactly when, because Lenovo is bringing out a new cell phone called, it has a terrible name, it's called the Fab 2 Pro, and it contains a new technology from Google called Tango. Tango is real augmented reality on a scale you've never seen before. Tango is a phone that scans the room you are in, generates a complete 3D map of the room, and then allows you to put a 3D object on your screen and maneuver it as if it were really in the room. You know Lowe's, the home equipment, the home improvement company?
Yes.
They have already written the Tango app. You can go to Lowe's online, pick out, say, a refrigerator. You will see a digital representation of that refrigerator, and you can take this phone, this Tango phone, hold it up in your kitchen, and move the refrigerator into the spot where you want it to be and see if it fits.
So Pokemon Go is just the start of this, but we're going to be getting actually more practical applications.
Absolutely. Practical applications of augmented reality are about to hit big time because of Tango. Microsoft is working on something called HoloLens. That's a helmet that does that, but their device costs $3,000. The first Tango phone comes out sometime this summer. It's going to cost $500.
Wow.
Now let's talk.
Let's get back to Pokemon Go and talk about a few sort of, I don't know if you want to call them kinks or hiccups with the game, but there have been some security concerns.
Absolutely.
There have been reports of armed robbers in Missouri setting up shop near Lures. And from
That's
a privacy
right.
standpoint, the app requests a lot of access to your phone. So how are the creators of Pokemon Go addressing this?
Well, we got to work at it one step at a time. First, there was the thing about getting access to all your Google information through Gmail. That apparently was a mistake on the part of the people, the company called Niantic that makes the app. They simply screwed up. They have since changed that. And if you sign up for this using your Google account, the access to information has been much more restricted. So they say, we just made a mistake. That's not part of the plan. However, you've got to understand, this app still allows them to follow you around and they know where you are. But hey, newsflash, most of the apps on your phone are doing that already. When you turn on the app, and sometimes even when you don't turn on the app, the people who have that app know where you are. So if that bothers you, you may not want to use a smartphone at all. Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, is the game has this feature called Lures. You can buy a feature that will cause a particular place on the map to send out a message to other people nearby saying, come here and get more Pokemons. And it has been used already in Missouri to lure people to locations where they've been robbed. So yes, that's a real threat. All that means is you got to be careful where you play this game. You've got to watch your step. You can't just go to a lure unless it's in a place that's very open, very public, where you know you're going to be safe. So yeah, you have to think about stuff like this. But I don't think there's any reason to be afraid that this is a particularly dangerous game, except if you're not walking down the street staring at the screen and you walk into traffic. Then you could get killed.
Yeah, and another issue with the game has been the fact that there are reports of people playing Pokemon Go at Auschwitz, at the U.S. Holocaust Museum, and the Arlington National Cemetery. Those places have discouraged people from playing there. But what is Niantic, the company that produces Pokemon Go, doing about getting those places out of the game? And what can they do, quite frankly, from a tech standpoint?
Well, I'm not sure what they're doing. And to be honest, I don't know whether they're doing this, but technically, you know what they could do. It's an idea called geofencing. They can design the game so that it will not work near certain locations. You could do that by simply saying, you know, it's not going to work here because the game uses GPS. It knows where you are. So they could fence off certain areas and say, this game just can't be played here. That is certainly something they could do. I don't know how far they're going to doing it. But yeah, that thing about the Holocaust Museum was pretty appalling. And I don't think they're going to put up with that for very long.
We have just 30 seconds left here, Hiawatha. And I just want to ask you, you mentioned how people won't be playing it in November, but do you see this as Pokemon Go as strictly a fad, or is it something more?
It's not a total fad. I mean, a lot of these people are hardcore Pokemon fans, and they'll keep playing it. The frenzy right now is obviously going to fade away. Frenzies like this always do. But the bigger issue is, I think this is the game that really turns the corner, or starts to turn the corner, and make us take seriously augmented reality. The next big thing is when the Tango phones come out. Then we'll see if this really takes off.
Well, I'm excited to see what lies ahead. Hiawatha Bray is tech columnist for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.